problem. Okay. March 5th, 2003, Megillah 29b, Choftes Amud Beis, the bottom of the page. Okay. So, the question that is now being raised is in reference to Rosh Chodesh Teves, and as I mentioned last week, at least one day of Chanukah is always Rosh Chodesh. The sixth day must always be Rosh Chodesh, and very often the seventh day of Chanukah is also a second day of Rosh Chodesh. But that is going to vary from year to year, okay? Because, as we learned in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, there are some years in which they can have either 29 or 30 days. Normally, the amount of days are fixed, okay? So that, for example, we know Tishrei is always 30 days, okay? Kislev and Cheshvan and Kislev, however, they may not be. Either one may have 29 days, either one may have 30 days. So that you have to go according to what the Luach tells us, okay? But from that point on, then the rest of the year it's fixed. Tevis always is 29, Shvat is 30, Adar is always 29, except we learned again in the Gemara, what happens when you have two Adars, as we've had this year. Then in that particular case, first Adar has 30 days, and second Adar has 29 days, because the Adar, which is closest to Pesach, always has only 29 days. And then it continues, you know, with the Nisan would be 30, Iyar would be 29, Sivan would be 30, Tammuz would be 29, Av would be 30, and finally Elul is 29. That's the way it goes, okay. But coming back to Hanukkah, since the month of Kislev could either have either 29 days or 30 days, so that would affect whether the seventh day of Hanukkah is Rosh Chodesh or it's after Rosh Chodesh. I have that problem every year, inasmuch that I have Yahrzeit on the third day of Tevis. So the third day of Tevis usually is after Hanukkah. So it's the regular Vochadik adopting, as we would say. But sometimes it happens to be the eighth day of Hanukkah. In that case, we have to observe it that way. With all and the last day of Hanukkah has the longest Hanukkah readings, because we read for the eighth day, and if there were a ninth, a tenth, an 11th, a 12th day, and so on and so on. So we read the passages that deal with the dedication of the Mishkan that we find at the end of Parsha Nasa. Okay? So this is what we read. Alright. So at any rate, what happens when Rosh Chodesh Tevis occurs in the middle of the week, then how should the readings work on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah? This is the question. Okay. Alright, so Gemara continues. It says, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak says, this is the procedure for reading the Torah. He says, Korot Losa Rosh Chodesh Rechad B'Chanukah. He says that we read in one Sefer Torah, we read three aliyahs for Rosh Chodesh, and then a fourth one that we read for Chanukah. One passage, one aliyah for Chanukah. Okay. Rab Dimi, the Min Chaifa, and Rab Dimi who came from Chaifa, Omar, he said, Korot Losa B'Chanukah V'Chad B'Rosh Chodesh. He disagrees. He says he should have three aliyahs from the readings concerning Chanukah, and only one aliyah for Rosh Chodesh. So, Omar Rabbani, so Rabbani said, Kavotzi the Rabbi Yitzchak Napcho, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak Napcho, Mistabra. It makes sense. Namely, what? That we should have three aliyahs from Rosh Chodesh, right? And one aliyah from Chanukah. Why does it make sense? Because he quotes over here a famous ruling that occurs again and again and again, namely the Todir Vishain or Todir Todir Kodim, that when you have two things, one is frequent and the other one is infrequent, then the frequent one always takes precedence over the infrequent one. Okay? So Omar Rav Ovin said, Kavosi Rav Dimi Mistabri, says, on the contrary, he says, to me it makes more sense in accordance with Rav Dimi's opinion. Namely, three passages, three aliyahs from Chanukah, right? And one from Rosh Chodesh. Why does it make sense? He says, because me Gorm Nerudi Sheyomek, normally he says on Chanukah, how many aliyahs do we give out? Normally we give out only three. I mean, in the middle of the week, you know, we read three aliyahs. But why is it then that we have a fourth aliyah on Rosh Chodesh in this particular case, Rosh Chodesh Chanukah? So he says, it's Rosh Chodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh. That's why we have an additional aliyah, namely a fourth aliyah, right? So Hilkach Ravi, the Rosh Chodesh boy, so therefore he says, the opinion though that the fourth aliyah should be the reading for Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara Bansador, my Hava Allah, so in the final analysis, so what happens? So Rabbi Yosef Omar, Rabbi Yosef said, Ein Mashiach B'Rosh Chodesh, he says that we do not place the emphasis upon Rosh Chodesh, which would mean, in other words, in my opinion, we should have three aliyahs from Chanukah and only one from Rosh Chodesh, right? Because to me, the fact that it's Chanukah is more important, and therefore we should have three people having passages in the Torah, right? And only one from Rosh Chodesh. But the Rabbi Omar, Rabbi disagrees, and he says, Ein Mashgichim B'Chanukah. He says, no, we disregard the fact that it's Chanukah to the extent that what? That Rosh Chodesh takes priority over it. So therefore, Rosh Chodesh should have three aliyahs, and Chanukah one aliyah, right? Yes. Yes.
The Torah readings are done Mondays and Thursdays, is that correct?
That's correct. Mondays, Thursdays, yes. Mondays, and also Shabbos, and then all special occasions, yeah.
Now, when you say all special occasions,
yeah.
Rosh Chodesh is a special occasion.
Definitely.
Right. So even if it's a Tuesday, you would have.
Just two.
Yesterday, today we read the Torah.
You would have the Torah reading.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course, Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That answers my question, because my question was, you know, if you're only reading Monday or Thursday, what if Rosh Chodesh is in the
No, no, no.
But it
no.
becomes it's specific for Rosh Chodesh.
Definitely.
So even any Rosh Chodesh, it comes out on like this. You had four aliyahs.
That is correct.
The three which would be normal to read on any day, any weekday, and the extra one for Rosh Chodesh.
We learned earlier in the year that there is a sort of a progression, okay? The minimum, if you remember, is three. So that would be for ordinary days, and also including Shabbos afternoon, okay? But if it is a day upon which Hallel is said, then in that particular case, namely, of course, Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, on those days we add Hallel, right? So in that case, we call up four people, okay? If it is Yom Tov, then in that case we call up five people. If it is Yom Kippur, we call up six people. And then, of course, on Shabbos, we call seven. Right. The Hilchasa, what is the Halacha? Ein Mashgichim B'Chanukah. In other words, the agreement is that you read the three aliyahs from Rosh Chodesh and one from the appropriate day for Chanukah. I mentioned that our custom is to take out two Sifrei Torah, because one of them we read for Rosh Chodesh and then the other one we read for Chanukah. Okay. The Rosh Chodesh Ikar, and Rosh Chodesh takes priority. Okay. Itmar. Okay. Now they bring up a new problem that we sort of hinted at before. We learned Cholios Bivaata Tetzaveh. Okay. Now we are talking again about Parsha Shkolah. Okay. What Shabbos should we call Parsha Shkolah? When should we read the special section of Parsha Shkolah? Okay. All right. Now, I would pass out Chumashim, but I think you'll remember the sentence in general. Okay. Tetzaveh is the sedra which is read prior to Kisisa, right? And then Kisisa is read prior to Vayakil. To Vayakil. That's why we read this past Shabbos, okay? This is the order in which it goes. Tetzaveh, Kisisa, and Vayakil, right? Of course, this coming Shabbos will be reading Pukudei, which is the last one. Okay. So, the question is, again, is based upon the fact that in the days of the Talmud, and obviously earlier than that, as I pointed out on several occasions, apparently they had adopted the custom that if you have a special occasion, then you read six aliyahs in the Shabbos portion, right? And then the seventh aliyah is the special one, all right? Let's say it was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Forget about whether it was Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Allah or whatever. Okay. Ordinary Rosh Chodesh, okay? The Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so they said, you took out only one Sefer Torah in those days, and they had six people reading aliyahs in what they called, you know, the in Yonah the Yerba, in other words, the weekly Sefer, okay, the weekly reading. And then the seventh aliyah was the Rosh Chodesh one. This is what we learned. Of course, we do it differently today because we instituted, as I mentioned last week, the business of a Maftir. In other words, actually, we, that's already mentioned earlier in the Gemara and Megillah also. When there, the question is whether Maftir min haminyan or Maftir is not from the minyan. What do I mean by min haminyan? In other words, does the Maftir, Aliyah, is that part of the seven? Or is it separate from the seven? Okay? In other words, it's an old point of discussion, you see. So obviously, when you have an opinion like this, we would have to say that they consider it as being min haminyan. Okay? Which, in other words, part of the seven aliyahs that you have to read. Okay? On Shabbos. Our custom today is to consider Maftir lo min haminyan. It's not. And therefore, it is an addition. And because of that, this is the reason why on an ordinary Shabbos we will reread, you know, the last psukim of the weekly seder, right? But if it's a special occasion, then what do? We take out a separate Sefer Torah and we read the passage which is appropriate to that particular day. So that, for example, if it is Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so the second Sefer Torah would be a Rosh Chodesh reading, okay? If it is Chanukah, yeah.
In place of the normal Maftir.
Yeah, in place of reading the last few verses of the previous Seder that we just completed. That's correct. In other words, this supersedes it. This is our practice today. And of course, this is true for not only Rosh Chodesh, it's true for Chanukah, that we do that too. Okay, this is
now
why.
That creates a whole reading
right.
From the separate Seder.
Yes,
right.
Correct, right.
And is that, if the Maftir, does that include the Haftorah?
The person who is honored with reading the Maftir also is honored with reading the Haftorah.
So that would be an extraordinarily
right.
Large reading for that particular aliyah.
Well, the Maftir itself may be quite short.
Okay?
Maftir may be quite short. I mean, the actual amount of psukim, you know, the verses that we read,
it's
not
the whole,
right.
Whole
no, we don't read the whole sedra. That already is a little too much.
Yeah, okay.
Doctor, I think just to make clear to us
right.
That when you say it's in place of that, we conclude the reading of the sedra with the Maftir of that week, but then we read the additional, if you will, the Maftir of Shkolim.
Yeah, if it's a special occasion, then we read the second Sefer Torah, the special reading for the occasion.
Right.
it could be Shkolim, it could be Shkodesh, it could be
Hanukkah.
Right.
Pardon me?
We didn't leave out those.
No, we don't read
Tumah. You don't do two mafters, but you read two portions. One might be mafter.
It's not a maftir until you repeat it.
Maftir is actually, it's a verb, believe it or not. Yeah. It means the one, let's say, who finishes the reading or something. The one who concludes the reading.
Right. But okay. It's already been read, so actually, so he's repeating it. And instead of repeating it, he's going to the other Sefer Torah. Correct?
Correct. Yeah, right. And on all the special occasions when we take out a second Sefer Torah, then we do not reread the last sukkim of the previous reading.
So now, my question.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So now you're repeating, you're doing those few Rosh Chodesh.
Right. Yeah.
And then what do you do? Oh, and then there's a separate, for Rosh Chodesh, there's a separate Haftorah anyway.
Yes.
You're not going to read that Haftorah.
Yes. When it comes to Haftorahs, which remember comes, you know, from what we call the Nevi'im, although that includes what we call Nevi'im Rishonim, Nevi'im Achronim, which means anything beginning with the book of Joshua, going through the end of all the prophets, at the end of what we call the Treyosa, the 12 smaller prophets, and so on and so forth. I don't like to use the word minor in English, All it means is that their books are not as long as the other, as the major prophets, okay? Who, you know, Yeshayahu, there are 66 chapters.
Right, so instead of saying less of their, less political.
Right. Obadiah has only one chapter.
Amos is one of them.
Amos has nine. Yeah.
He's really a major.
Yeah, of course, he's a major figure, there's no question. That's why I don't like to use the word minor. Hosea has 14 chapters, but he has a message to give and so on. So I dislike a lot of these current terms that became popularized because I think that they do injustice to the actual personality and the message of the individual Navi. Okay. All right. So getting back to our text
Did that click up just now?
Pardon me?
Did that click just now?
No. As far as I know, it's still it's still recording. Yes, I'll show. Okay. So we're now on the second line from the bottom, okay? Itma, we have learned. This is the middle of the line, okay? We have learned Cholios Bivatasana. All right, let's say that the Shabbos reading for that particular week is Tetzaveh. Okay? So now Yitzchak Natko says, okay, what should we do if it is also Parsha Shkolim? We said that Shkolim, you know, would be read, you know, prior to Rosh Chodesh, because in that particular case, Rosh Chodesh is in the middle of the week. Okay? So, what would be the order of reading? So he says, Koru Shiso Mediata Tetzaveh Ad Kisiso. In other words, you read the entire Sedra of Tetzaveh right until the beginning of Kisiso, okay? The Chad, and then number 7, this is what he's saying. The 7th Aliyah would be the Kisiso of the Osiso. In other words, the first few psukim of Kisiso, where it deals with the giving of the Matzah Hashem, right, the Shkolim, okay? All right. The only difference between what he says and what we do today is that we read Kisiso in the 7th Sefer Torah. And it is not, therefore, Min HaMinyan, you know, as I refer to the previous Machlokes that existed. Okay. But otherwise, what he's saying is essentially what we do today, except that we use 2 Sefer Torahs and have 7 in the regular Sedra. And one separate Bafta Sefer. Okay. So this is his opinion. Omer Abaye, but Abaye has a different opinion. Okay. Amre says, look, if you do what they say, I mean, what you have said, you're so right. Oh, I'm so far tiffed over here, I forgot to ask you about another one. Okay. Okay. You're welcome. Bobby. So he says, if this is the procedure that we use, the Bar Yitzchak says, so people will be saying, Amri means people say, Ukimi Hudaka Mukmi Hasa. Ah, so this is where he simply stopped over there. In other words, they wouldn't realize that the business of Kisiso is specifically because of Shkolim. But they would simply assume, you know, that he simply read on, and that's it. He read on. Happens somewhere. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes I don't stop where it's not, I should stop, and I go on and read a few more psukim or something like that. I'm human, occasionally. Okay. So this is what people would say. Ah, he should have stopped before Kisisa, but he did. So, okay, so he read a few more psukim. Okay.
So that's not a terrible calamity.
Well, it's not a terrible calamity, but, you know, a custom is a custom. Yeah. Elohim Abaye. So Abaye said, therefore, Koru Shisa Vyata Tetsave Ad Vyosisa V'chad Toni V'kore V'kisisa Ad Vyosisa. It says, you know what? My Eitza is as follows. Okay. Start from the beginning of Tetsave, right? And read right through right through the end of the first passage in Kisisa. Of course, the next one where it says Yosisa, this is already the beginning of the next section that we have in the Torah in Kisisa. Yosisa, Kiyonachosh, Chadinachosh, Tarok, etc. Dealing, you know, with the fact that in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdosh, they had a fountain put in so that the Kohanim could wash their hands and their feet before they go proceeding to the service, okay? To this day, of course, before a Kohen goes up to Duchen, what does he have to do? He has to wash his hands. He doesn't wash his feet these days. Right, because in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Kohanim had to go barefoot. They were treading upon holy soil, so they had to go barefoot so they could make contact with the holy soil. But by us, you know, we wear shoes and so on. Okay. But if you notice, what does a Kohen do before he goes up to Duchen? Has to remove his shoes. And while here in Kadima, they developed the very beautiful custom of putting on sneakers, it's about the only shul that I've ever seen where Kohanim put on sneakers. Normally, they go in their stocking feet, their socks and so on. Yeah.
My mother-in-law had this idea that when she saw grass,
yeah,
that she took her shoes off and stockings, whatever she was wearing, so that she could touch the earth with her feet.
Uh-huh.
She had a sense that this was something that it was.
It put her in touch with nature or something like that.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
It was. She was very learned.
Right.
She must have somehow connected this with the priest going barefoot. I
don't know. This I can't
say.
Saying,
when you're reading this,
right,
this is the way I'm thinking of it. But
right,
she felt that the that's where health and strength came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Right. That's very interesting as well. Right. Right.
Dr. Lee, this sounds like, was this ever done to actually go into another parsha? This sounds like a very strange.
But this is what he suggested. Well, you have to realize. First of all, we learned that in Eretz Israel they followed a different system altogether. Remember, this is what we learned last week,
okay,
that they had a three-year cycle, and that therefore, because of that, it was possible, they said, that the passage for Rosh Chodesh, which is in Parsha Pinchas, that by us, is always sometime in the summertime that we read it, but it were possible, you know, that they would read Rosh Chodesh, the reading, you know, Tzavos L'Yisrael and Rosh Chodesh, but that would happen to coincide at the time when Parsha Shkolim should occur.
Okay.
And this is, of course, in line with a point of view that is not our point of view, but is a very valid point of view, namely that Shkolim is not Kisisa, right? But Shkolim
right
is the reading of Rosh Chodesh, if we remember. Mm-hmm. Salve Israel, because I have to give korbanos, it has to be from the, for the new year, and so on and so forth, which began in this, and that's why they went down. Right. Right. Yeah. Right. But our custom, you know, Parshas and so on, this was among the Babylonian Jews that this developed, and of course, to this day, Jews throughout the world follow that particular custom. Of the weekly Siddurim, the weekly Siddurim that we have, the weekly Parshas, okay? Right. Yeah, you're putting
me. You're trying to figure this out.
Absolutely right.
Well,
right.
Saying,
that's what I kept on stressing again and again. Yeah.
Unearth something even more startling. What you're saying is before Babel, there were no parashot. I mean, how, that didn't.
No. I didn't say that. What I mean to imply is that the business of reading the Torah during the course of a year and the division into the various parshios, this was developed in Babel. Okay?
What did they do?
But in Eretz Israel, the parshios corresponded more or less to where we find in the Chumash a Sama, a Pei, or something like that. In other words, the sections were smaller. But, you know, that goes back to antiquity, you know, when they first started in to, you know, to write Sefer Torah, that, you know, you have a space here, or you have a space at the end of the line, or something like that, you know, in order to mark the end of a particular section. So they would read a certain number of sections on Shabbos, and then the following week they would continue from where they left off and read a few more sections. And then the following week, and so on. So it did not correspond to our weekly sessions. Okay.
That seems to correspond a lot more. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That seems to correspond a lot more to the idea of the what was in antiquity, the triennial system. Because if there was no mandate to read it in 52 portions, then it would make a lot more sense that you could read it over the course of several years.
Yeah.
So I have a problem with that, because we have the custom that on Shavuos, you finish the Torah reading.
No, we finish on Sukkot Torah.
Sukkot Torah. When do we have the? When do we do the?
We conclude the Sefer Torah, right, exactly.
In the ancient times, when they were doing it over 3 years, they didn't have that system for some pastor at all.
No.
And picking up on what Sylvia said, then the whole idea of Reishi on Simchat Torah, this was organized in Babel?
Probably. I say probably. Couldn't give you 100% assurance of it, but
that
it's
I
a custom
that
we've been following
that
so
that
long
done,
and so on.
You know, like that,
but I also have to tell you, remember, in Babel, they observed 2 days Yom Tov, and that set the pattern for every place outside of Eretz Israel, okay? So, originally, it wasn't Simchas Torah by name. There was no such thing, okay? Originally, it was simply Shmini Atzeres, and it's the second day of Shmini Atzeres, okay? So, later on, during the Middle Ages, this is when the custom arose, you know, of Simchas Torah, to begin the Torah reading, to conclude the Torah reading, and so on and so forth on this day. And this we find, right, yeah. So this occurred, this started in the Middle Ages.
If it was 3 years complete of Torah
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. Right.
Different people.
Yeah. The custom was, if you remember, that person should read his own Aliyah, okay? This was the custom. But then we learned, when we reached the point, you know, that not everybody was skilled in doing it, so that's when we developed the idea of having a Baal Kriya, somebody who reads for everybody. But what is the person who has the Aliyah expected to do? He should say in an undertone, follow the text and say in an undertone what the reader is saying out loud. This is the correct procedure, okay? A lot of people don't know what the correct procedure is. The average person probably is unaware of it. But this is the correct one.
That, well, lucky they can read the...
Right.
Mostly I just concentrate on not knocking over the Baal Kri, you know, not to stumble you against them in front of them, you know, fall down or something.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Right, exactly.
All right, so anyway, getting back to the text over here, all right, so what does Abai recommend? He says, at three Aliyahs, beginning with the Ator Tetzaves B'nei Yisrael, and read right through the first passage of Kisisa, in other words, and then the Chatoni, the Korei, the Kisisa, the Ador Tetzisa, and then the last Aliyah, the seventh Aliyah, he reads over again Kisisa, and you know, the first three psukim until he comes to this passage that begins the Asisa Kyo Nechoshes. Okay? This is what he said. Okay. So, Mesme. On this they ask Akasha from another source. Okay. It says, Choli Yos, the Parsha Hasmucha Lo, Bebel Fodun Bebel Chorecho. Let's say that the time that Rosh, you know, let's say Rosh Chodesh Ador, okay, occurs at a time when you have a Torah reading which is close to it, whether it precedes it or whether it comes after. In other words, either Tetzava, which comes before Kisisa, or Vayakhel, which comes right after Kisisa, okay? So in that particular case, what should we do with the passage, you know, for Shkolim, okay? So he says, this is not a selected, this is not a, you know, a halacha, but this is from another, an idea that was proposed by one of the rabbonim. He says, what we should do is Kohen Osor, the Koftin Osor. Then in that particular case, Kisisa, that passage in Kisisa, should be read twice. It should be read both to Tetzaveh, and it should also be read to Vayakhel. This is what he says, okay?
Hey, Homer, could you explain this again?
Yeah.
Okay,
all right. Remember, how did the Sedras run? It runs Tetzaveh, Kisisa, and Vayakhel. Right, okay. So what he's saying is that if it happens to be either with, you know, with the Tetzaveh or with Vayakhel, so you would be reading the passage of Kisisa two Shabbosim in a row. Be reading it two Shabbosim in a row. Well, this could make sense even with our own present situation.
The all of Kisisa?
Well, he really means not the, all of Kisisa. He means, you know, the, right,
so
right.
But the
point,
the
yeah. But he's pointing out something else. It's interesting. He's pointing out that, okay, let's say it's Tetzaveh, right? And then what do we read as the Aliyah for Shkolim? Kisisa, right? So, and then the next week, what comes after Tetzaveh? Kisisa. So he'll be reading the same passage twice. Okay. This is what he's saying. And on the other hand, if it is Kisisa and followed by Vayakhel, then in that case, he'd be reading Kisisa. And then if it's Vayakhel, as this year was, Shkolim, so he'd be reading that yet over again. That's such.
Oh, I see what he's saying.
It's
right.
Just the
oh,
portion
I
that's
see
dealing
what
with
saying.
This.
Oh. Yeah.
He objects to the fact that we'd be reading something twice.
Right, right. But actually, this is what we were doing this year.
Right.
Because the Vayakhel, at the same time, we read Kisisa, which had been read the previous Shabbos
but
in its entirety.
It's dealing
right.
with the particular passage.
Right, right, right.
Just those few paragraphs.
Right. That was not one particular paragraph. It's correct. Okay. So it says, Bishlam or Abaye. Okay, this would be in agreement with Abaye. Nicha, that's fine. Okay. Elo Rav Yitzchak Navcha, it says. Yitzchak's opinion, who said, and that's at the previous page over there, right? That they said, you read six from after the Sabbath, Kisisa, and then the last one would be Kisisa. It won't fit the fact that what? According to him, it won't fit the fact that we'll have a possibility of reading this passage two Shabbos in a row. Okay? Alright. Not a gefilch myself.
Even I can understand that.
Okay. So Amar Chor Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Yitzchak answers. Rav Yitzchak Navcha. He answers and says, "Ula Abaye Minicha." Is it going to work out for Abaye's opinion? He says, "Tina." Okay, I couldn't agree that what lefaneha, that kisisa, or let's say that tetzava will be read before. And okay, but achareha echem ashkachas lo. But the following week again, what we're going to do it? How is it going to work out? Elamai yistachol abema. But what you should be saying is to be more exact that it's koifle b'shabosis, that just as you're going to find this passage of Kisisa under those circumstances read doubly, in other words, one Shabbos and then the next Shabbos, right? So, Achinome, Kefle B'Shabbosis. And in that case, we again, we shall be reading this passage two Shabbos in a row. All right, so with that, we make peace. Okay, time is at right now. Yeah, I think I'm going to stop at this point because my throat is a little on the hazeric side, as we say. And we'll continue from here next week in Yitzhak Shem. All right, tonight is the 12th right. of March, in the year 2003, and we are continuing now in Megillah, Daf Lamed, Omed Aleph, page 30A, okay? And as you heard from the review, we are now approximately, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... Okay. Tenth line. Okay. All right. So we start from where it says the third word from the end. Chol yos bekisisa atzma. Now, what happens if shkolim happens to be also that Shabbos in which we read kisisa? Until now, the argument has been, you know, that shkolim might be, let's say, in connection with Parsha Tetzaveh, right? Or Shkola might be in connection with Vayakhel, okay? In other words, either prior to Shkola, either that Tetzava might be, in which case, yeah, it would not be Parsha Kesisa, that's the point. It's not Parsha Kesisa. But his question is, what happens if Shkola happens to be actually on Kesisa? What are you going to do then? How are you going to make a difference? And remember again what I've been saying the past couple of weeks, namely that here the system that they employed did not involve having a separate Sefer Torah necessarily, because that only came a little bit later when they said that this is what we should do. Okay, but first, what do they say? You read six here, and the seventh of the year is the Parsha Shkolim meeting, in other words, Kisisa, all right? Or, as we saw, one opinion, the opinion of Maya, happened to be, you know, that it should be Tzavos B'nei Israel. But at any rate, the reading proper for Shkolim, okay? So now what are you going to do if it actually is Kisisa, and we follow the system of what? That Kisisa is the real reading that we should say, read on Parsha Shkolim. So what do we do then? So Omer Rav Yitzchak Navcha. So Rav Yitzchak Navcha gives the following suggestion. He says, Koru Shiso Min Yosiso ad vayakel, the chad korimim kisiso ad vayosisa. Now, in order to understand this, it's best if we have a chumash in front of us, so that we can see what he's saying, okay?
Sure.
David, I appoint you to get the chumash. Thank you. Yeah.
I suppose you need one doctor, but I'm not sure you really do.
Well,
I can look.
It's all right. I can refresh my memory too.
Okay. So
all right. Okay.
Are we going to go to the beginning of Kisiso?
Okay. Yeah, the very beginning of Kisiso, if you remember, this is the special reading that we say for Shikala, right? That's the one that we have on page 252, or 352, excuse me, and 353, right? Okay. Now, this is what he's saying. We read Parsha Kisiso, right? How would I know that if I've already read it at the beginning of the Sedra, you understand? So what am I going to do then?
Right.
What are you going to do for the last Aliyah? So his suggestion is therefore as follows, okay? He says, you started to read not with Kisiso, but instead you start on page 353, okay? Where it's written, V'yosiso kiyo nechoshes. This is where we'll start reading that Shabbos. And in other words, so that when we come to the end of the reading, he says,
right here.
So in that particular case, you read it up to Vayakel, in other words, till the end of Parsha Kisiso, right? Because Vayakel then is beginning of the next Sedra. So you read up to that point. Vechad, number 7, Kori Mekisiso Adiosiso. Right? In other words, he will read the section that was omitted at the beginning of the Seder, and that will be the reading for Shikala. Okay? Sounds good? Doesn't sound good.
Interesting, but.
Right. Because again.
I don't recall that ever being done.
Right. It's never been done, but apparently this was his suggestion. So. Immediately, Masiflah Abaye. So Abaye disagrees vehemently with this. He says, Hashta Amre Lemafreyahu Dekari. People are going to say, if you follow your suggestion, that he's reading it in the topsy-turvy fashion. Remember we had Hakuri Samagila Lemafreyah, right? In other words, let's say you would start, you read chapter 2, then you decide to go back to chapter 1, and so, and we said that that's not kosher either, right? So, likewise, he says, if we're going to read, the people say, well, he's reading it out of order. He's doing the wrong thing. Okay. So, Elohim Abaye. So, Abaye has a different suggestion. He says, what should we do? He says, Korish Isa Adva Yakel. Right? All right. Starts from the beginning of the Sedra. Read right to the end of the Sedra. And then the Chatoni the Kori Mekisisa Adiosisa. And then number 7 is going to repeat and read again the beginning of Kisisa, okay?
Right.
Up to, in other words, up to the Osisa, which in other words, he'll read that first passage, the first paragraph, if you wish, of the Sedra as the reading for Shkol. This is what he suggests, okay? And Tanya Kabosi Abaye, and we have a teaching that is similar to Abaye's opinion, which says, Chol Yoyz B'Kisiso Atzmo, and what if it happens to be on the Shabbos of which we read Kisiso, then in that case, Korin Oso, we read it the Kofin Oso, and then we repeat it a second time. All right, so God's fine. I don't recall too often that we find it Kisiso. In an ordinary year, usually we find that Parsha Shkolim is in connection with Parsha Mishpatim. Usually, because usually Parsha Mishpatim is the last Sedra that we read in the month of Shvat. Okay? And then that would be, you know, usually, you know, the Shabbos, which would be Shkolim, because Rosh Chodesh is going to occur after that. That's usually what happens. But this is a leap year, and since we have two Adars, this is the reason why it was not what Mishpatim was the first this year. It happened to be Vayakhel. Okay? Yeah. All right. So now, hi, how are you? Yeah, you're late. It's all right. You're late. You're early. Huh?
Years ago, I was sick for 3 months straight.
Yeah.
How can you hold a job?
True. True. All right. So now they get back again to the original Mishnah at the beginning of this chapter, and it says, Chol Yoyis Pesecha Shabbos, Makdim L'Shabbos She'ofra. What is the rule if Pasha Shkolim happens to be in the middle of the week? Here, Shabbos means the week, right? If Rosh Chodesh occurs in the middle of the week, then Makdim L'Shabbos She'ofra. Then in that case, when do we read the reading for Pasha Shkolim? It's on the Shabbos prior to Rosh Chodesh. This is what we find in most years, okay? But in the leap year, it's a different story, as we said. So, at that point, we now again quote conflicting opinions. Itmar, we have learned. Rosh Chodesh Ador Shecholios Be'erev Shabbos. What happens if Rosh Chodesh Adar occurs in the middle of the week, but not exactly in the middle? When does it occur? It occurs on Friday, okay? Erev Shabbos. So in this particular case, again, there's a difference of opinion between Rav and Shmuel in this case. What does Rav say? Rav Omar, he says, Magdimin. He says, in that case, we still observe Pasha Shkolim on the Shabbos prior to Rosh Chodesh, okay? Even if Rosh Chodesh happens to be on Erev Shabbos, but nevertheless, we still follow the same principle. This is what he says. However, Shmuel has a different opinion. Shmuel Omar, he says, Me'acharin, he says, no, you know what? You read it not on the Shabbos preceding Rosh Chodesh Adar, but you read it the day after Rosh Chodesh Adar. You read on the Shabbos, which is the day after Rosh Chodesh Adar. Right. Because if we say that, you know, it's on Erev Shabbos, you understand? That's Rosh Chodesh, then in that case, according to Shmuel, we should read it not on the preceding Shabbos, but we should read it the very next day. Okay, that's what he says. Pardon me? Yeah, you're right.
No.
That's a different problem. I mean, when we have just an ordinary year, there's only one Adar. So we don't refer to it as Adar 1 or Adar 2. It's only Adar, okay? In a leap year, that's when we have Adar 1 and Adar 2. And this we learned a long, long, long time ago in the Gemara and in the Megillah, that there was a difference of opinion whether to observe Purim in first Adar or whether to observe it in second Adar. And the rule is that we observe it in second Adar. Why? For the basic reason that we want Purim to be as close to Pesach as possible. As the Gemara says, the Nitzbach Geula LeGeula. In other words, we want to join one redemption, namely the redemption of the Jews during the time of Haman and Achashverosh and so on, you know, and Mordechai and Esther, in other words, their salvation to the Geula, which happened when the people of Israel were redeemed from Egypt. Okay? So that's why we always observe it in second Adar. So what should we do as far as the corresponding days of first Adar are concerned? So this is what we call Purim Katan. And we observe it by leaving out, you know, Tachdin and things like that, not a day for mourning and so on. It should be a joyous day, but apart from that, we don't make any special celebrations in a leap year and other Rishon. Okay? All right. So So now the Gemara continues. All right, so now we have a new machlokes. We have a new difference of opinion between Rav and Shmuel. If Rosh Chodesh Adar occurs, as we said, Erev Shabbos. Okay? Should we follow Rav's principle that we still say that, you know, that we observe it on the Shabbos preceding? Or should we follow what Shmuel says, namely to make it the following day, which of course would be the second day of the month of Adar? Okay? Alright, so each of them has their reasons. Alright. Rav Omar, Rav says, Magdimin, we should observe Parshas Shkolim earlier, in other words, prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar. The Yim came, because if this is the case, then Botsru Nehu Yom Shulchanis. Okay. If we were to follow Shmuel's opinion, right? If we were to follow Shmuel's opinion that we first begin reading Shkolim on the second day of Adar instead of doing it prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar, then in that particular case we had learned a couple of daf back that on the 15th of Adar the money changers set up shop in the various places in order to change whatever the current currency was there and put them into Shkolim so that people could fulfill the mitzvah of giving a Machzis HaShekel. Okay, so if it's the 15th, so he says originally the idea over there that was mentioned is so that they would have 15 days in which to change their money and make their donation to the Beis HaMikdash. Because remember what we said, what do they do with the Machzis HaShekel geld that's collected? It goes into the Karbonos for the new year, starting with Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Okay? So, it gives us 2 weeks' time, in other words, in order to contribute our Shkolim and to get everything set up in the Beis HaMikdash so that they could use the new funds for the new sacrifices. Okay? And what would be if we followed Shmuel's opinion according to Rav? He says you wouldn't have enough time left, because there should be more time available for people to change the shkolim. Okay, you're taking away a day, and there wouldn't be sufficient time. Shmuel Omar Ma'achman, but Shmuel says no. We have it. We would reach shkolim after what? After Rosh Chodesh. In other words, we said on the second day of the month of Adar. Omar Lachoa, and his reason is as follows. He says, so finally, he says, look, the final analysis. Chamesa b'balei shabbato mikla. Right? Figure out. If Rosh Chodesh is on Friday, okay? So, what are we going to find? We're going to find that the 15th of Adar will also be on Friday. Correct? Alright. So, he says, look, if that's the case, so in that case we're going to find that when is the 15th? The 15th is B'malei Shabbaton, what we call Erev Shabbos, right? Erev Shabbos, Mikla, it will happen. And he says, V'shulchonos le'nafke at Chad B'Shabbos. Yeah, it should be at Chad B'Shabbos. My book, there's an Aleph over there. Doesn't make sense. Should be with a Saf. Do you have a different reading in your Chumashim over there?
No, I have it with an Aleph.
Yeah, I also have that.
What's that?
Shabbat. Yeah.
Shabbat?
Should really be Shabbat. It doesn't make sense to me otherwise.
All right. Shabbat.
Okay. Shabbat. Sometimes you know what we say, the Bochel Hazetzer, you know, the person who set the type, sometimes he makes a mistake, and the mistake sometimes becomes hallowed.
Not in every Gemara. David has a different Gemara than you have a different one. I have a
mine has an Aleph.
You have an Aleph, and we all have Aleph.
All right.
Even an Oxbow. So
okay.
The original mistake, whoever made the original mistake, was copied by everybody.
All right. Okay.
Well, has it changed words?
The Shabbat, that doesn't make any sense.
What is it?
Maybe left out a
the Shabbat.
I might have left out a top. Instead of Malay Shabbat.
Well, if you tell me Shabbat, I could understand. Or Chag v'Shabbos, yeah. But the Shabbos, it doesn't make sense.
Shabbos Eve.
But at any rate, the idea is clear as to what he's trying to say. What he's trying to say is, if the 15th happens to occur, Erev Shabbos, right, then in that particular case, the money changers are not going to leave their homes anyway on that day because Shabbos is coming, right? So they wouldn't go out, and when would they first go in order to set up shop? It would be Chag v'Shabbos, right?
After Shabbos.
Yeah. In other words, the first day of the following week, okay? Maybe Shabbos Shabbos in the sense that, you know, of the following week. Maybe that's how he takes it, okay? Yeah.
Right, I think you're right.
You're right.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
What was Rob's argument, again, that if it was one day before Shabbat?
Yeah.
And what was his argument about
it? His argument is that whether it's Erev Shabbos or not, if Rosh Chodesh occurs sometime during the week, and that would include, even if it occurs Erev Shabbos, then in that case, we read Parsha Shkolim on the Shabbos preceding.
But what is he has also Yomei Shulchanot. What is that?
The argument is that they have to have enough time in order to set up shop.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So if that's the case, they would have enough time to get ready even before.
Oh, I see.
Once the proclamation is read, Shkolim, you have to give your truma, you have to go give your contribution of Matzis HaShekel, so they'll start out already to prepare what has to be done in order to, to build up their stock of Shkolim so that they could change the Shkolim, for the whatever money was being used over there.
Yes, and they would have like 5 days to do it. Anyway.
Right, that gives them more time. Okay.
The other way, they would be doing it after Rosh Chodesh.
Right. All right, so at any rate, so Shmuel says, no, it should be the following day, and there will still be enough time because, in any case, they're not going to go out the Erev Shabbos and all set up shop and so on and so forth. But, remember, the idea is that first they should hear the proclamation that Shkolim have to be given, you understand? And that proclamation is by the reading of Parsha Shkolim. Okay? All right, so now, we learned another Mishnah which says, Chol liyos b'secha Shabbos magdin l'sheova, right? Mishnah had said that if Rosh Chodesh Adar occurs in the middle of the week, then Makdim L'Sheavar, right? Then, first of all, you read Parsha Shkolim, the Shabbos preceding Rosh Chodesh, okay? Umafsik in the Shabbos Acheres, and then the following Shabbos is a break in the period of special Shabbos that happens. In other words, it would be, as we would say, an ordinary Shabbos, okay? So my love, so what's wrong with this? Afilu b'erev Shabbos. It applies even if what? According to Abaye, even if Rosh Chodesh is erev Shabbos, right? You understand? So Shmuel's argument is no. He says no. He says that's only b'soch haShabbos dafka. Okay, it's only if it occurs in the middle of the week. But according to Shmuel, it would not apply if Rosh Chodesh occurs on Friday. I don't have to tell you that our halacha happens to follow Abaye in this particular case. So it makes no difference what day Rosh Chodesh is, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever it may be, but it'll always be prior to that. Unless Rosh Chodesh itself is actually on Shabbos. In which case, as we learned, they're already, it's where we had the business of taking out three Sefer Torah, that was our final conclusion. For Shabbos, the Seder, and Yom Nidiyema, and for Rosh Chodesh, and finally, for Shkolim. Okay? Okay. So, says Besorcha Shabbos Davke, according to Shmuel, as we said, he means specifically in the middle of the week, right? And so therefore the argument between Rav and Shmuel is still in existence. So they want to bring in another citation, Toshma. All right, here's another quotation. Ezehi Shabbos Rishonah. What is the first Shabbos in the series? Because remember, we said that there are how many? There are four special Shabbos, okay? Namely, Shkolim, and as we'll see again, Zohar, and then what comes after Zohar? Para, and finally, Achodesh, okay? We're not talking about Shabbos HaGadol, I have to tell you that, okay? Because Shabbos HaGadol has no special Torah reading. What it does have is a special Haftorah, but not a special Torah reading, okay? So, Ezehi Shabbos Rishreina, what is the first Shabbos in the series of the four special ones? It says, Kol Shechol Rosh Chodesh Adar Liyos B'Sofa, where the first Shabbos, in other words, Shkolim, is always when Rosh Chodesh happens to occur in the middle of the week, and in which case then it would be prior, as we said. Ba'afil Be'er Shabbos, and here's the clincher, you see, and even if it happens to be Erev Shabbos, we still read it previously, as Rav had said, and not according to Shmuel.
According to Allah, can never fall on the Shabbos.
Pardon me?
It can't possibly fall on the Shabbos.
What?
Purim.
No, we're making a mistake. We're making a mistake in this way. You're absolutely right that for us, Purim will never occur.
Either Erev Shabbos?
No. Purim will occur at times, Erev Shabbos. Absolutely. I remember specifically several occasions, particularly when I was in Yerushalayim, that we had a Purim which is Erev Shabbos. In that particular case, even if it's an ordinary one for us, you know, that it occurs, we have to have the Suda early in the day, early in the morning, so in order not to interfere with preparations for Shabbos.
What I'm saying is, you can't have the Megillah reading on the Shabbos.
No, that we don't do. That's correct. Even in Yerushalayim, where they observe the following day, and that of course would be Shabbos,
right,
they don't read the Megillah on that day, because we learned that it's to discourage carrying a Megillah
on
the Shabbos. Exactly. Just as we learned the same thing about Shofar and Nulav, if you remember.
Right.
Okay. Of course, called Rosh Chodesh Adon Yos B'Sefer, Atil B'Er Shabbos. So he says, my love, Atil B'Er Shabbos. Why not? He says, how come not Erev Shabbos? Well, what's the difference? So he says, look, he says, it's Dumya to Seicha. Erev Shabbos is also, it's just like other days in the week. Right? Namely, Ma Teicha Magdimin, just as if it occurs in the middle of the week, we observe the reading of Shkolim prior to Rosh Chodesh, right? So off Erev Shabbos, so even if we find that Rosh Chodesh is Erev Shabbos, nonetheless, still, Magdimin, we still read it the previous Shabbos. Okay? And that, of course, is actually our ruling. Okay. Well, Shmuel is still not happy. He says, Omar Shmuel. So Shmuel said, but, no, he says, I say it has to be read specifically on that day. And likewise, the teacher in the school of Shmuel also taught the same thing, that it should be bought, not so called, but bought on it. So, they say, in reference to what we just quoted before, they say, Kitanoi, are we to say that there is an argument of the previous Tanoim, you know, prior to Rav and Shmuel, namely, Mesorgan and Shabbosa is the Rabbi Yehuda Hadosi, Rabbi Shimon and Lozo, Mesorgan, In other words, the Sogin means that.
What does Ketan mean?
Pardon me? Ketan loy A means, shall we say, that it's an argument that was already expressed previously by earlier Tanoim.
Oh.
See, Rav and Shmuel, they represent really the first generation of what we call the Amoraim, okay? Even though they were also at the same time, they were Tanoim because they had come to learn in Eretz Yisrael. So, obviously they got smicha in Eretz Yisrael, so that they could have been still continued Tanoim over there, but nevertheless, what did they do? They moved to Babylonia, and they established their own yeshivas in Babylonia. And with that, this is the beginning of the Amoraic period. Okay? Yeah. So, now, so Mesorgan Lishonos, what do we mean by Sorgan? Mesorgan means that Rashi explains. Remember, we said that.
Here it says alternate.
Right, to the alternate. We learned previously that you could have, for example, one person read, let's say, a couple of chapters in the Megillah, and then another one take over and continue from that particular point, and that would be called the Sargon. In other words, people take turns in doing it, and they alternate, okay? At least there was one opinion that says, you know, that's perfectly okay. Other opinions say, you know, that the person who reads should actually read the entire thing. Okay, all right. But Mesorgan, all right, so...
It's not a matter of strictness here, it's a matter of,
no.
of,
right.
of tradition.
Right. So, we'll take a look what Rashi says from Mesorgan, how he explains it. Says, Loshen Sigul, in other words, taking turns, he says, Kloma, for example, Mafsikin Lishabosais Ben Parsha Rishon Lishnia. Okay? In other words, first you have Parsha Shkolim, and then the next Shabbos would not be anything. In other words, there would be a Parsha to Shabbos, if you wish, okay? And then, of course, the next one and so on. So, this is what he's saying. So, in other words, what he's saying is that you do have a break in the series between Shkolim and between between Zohar, okay?
Zohar,
right.
Yeah. Which is this Shabbos.
Correct. And this could happen according to Rashi, and of course, I mean, from our own experience, we know that, okay? Because it says, Shachol v'shredish v'chol, when the shredish occurs on a weekday, Shemagdim v'shevar, we read, you know, Parsha Shkol of the Shabbos prior to v'shredish, right? And the imkim botzer lehu yemilish, well, all right, that we already had over there. So, then, the third Shabbos, then that's going to be Zohar. Okay? Shkolim, ordinary,
and then Zohar.
So that's what he means by Seirugin. Okay?
And that's what he means by alternating.
Right, alternating, exactly. Okay? Right.
That you alternate the special Shabbatot with an ordinary Shabbat?
Yes. Yes. As we said, I mean, it's a possibility, okay? As, for example, this year, that's the way it works out.
Yeah.
Because we read Shkolim before Rosh Chodesh, and then came Rosh Chodesh, right? Then the next Shabbos was nothing. If you recall, I mean, Vayakhel this year happened to be Parsha Shkolim.
Right.
But what did we find? We found that Pekudei was just the Parsha to Shabbos, that's all. Now, this coming Shabbos, we're going to read Vayikra, it's also Parsha Zohar. Okay? That's what happened when I was Bar Mitzvah.
Really?
Well, yeah, my Jewish birthday was yesterday.
Yeah.
So,
right,
yeah. Thank you.
Many more.
Very happy that I got calls not only from Baylor but also from some of Baylor's children that called me up too.
Wow.
I'm very happy to hear from them. Right. Okay, so.
Right,
okay. There's a difference of opinion among the Panoim. According to Rav Yehuda HaNasi, Rav Yehuda HaNasi, right, he says that this is a possibility, but Rav Shimon ben Alosa Eber ain't misorgan. He says, no, there should not be a break in between. Mm. Now, how is it going to work out? Well, he now has to give an explanation. He says, I'm Rav Shimon ben Alosa. He says, hey, Mosai, Adi Omer, ain't misorgan. He says, you know, I have to explain. When do I say that there is no break in between, you know, the special Shabbosim? He says, Bizman Shecholios Be'erev Shabbos. When Rosh Chodesh happens to occur Erev Shabbos, then in that case, he says, there won't be any break. But obviously, if he's saying that, it has to mean what? It has to mean that he adopted whose opinion? He adopted Shmuel's opinion that we should read not Shabbos prior, if Rosh Chodesh is Erev Shabbos, but we should read it the day following Rosh Chodesh. So in that case, obviously, if you're going to do it, let's say, on the 2nd of Adar, then the next Shabbos is going to be the 9th of Adar. The following one is going to be already the 16th. So in other words, there won't be any break at all, according to them. But that's dependent upon the fact that we accept Shmuel's opinion, okay, which we don't, right, in this case, okay. Avol, Bisban, Shecholi Yos, Besercha Shabbos, but he's in agreement that if Rosh Chodesh Adar happens to occur in the middle of the week, right, not Erev Shabbos, then Martim, the Kori, Mishabbos Shavuot, and then in that particular case, he reads Parsha Shkolim on the Shabbos that, that the previous Shabbos, Afal Pi, even though Shehu Shvat, even though it's not Adar yet, it's still the month of Shvat when we're having Parsha Shkolim. Okay?
But that doesn't matter.
No. Okay, I think I'm going to call a halt. Okay. All right, so again, the date now, we continue right in the middle of Lamed, is the 19th of March in the year 2003. And we are still on Daf Lamed, Omed Aleph, in the middle of the page. In other words, Megillah 38. Okay? All right. Now, as we noted last week, the argument between Rav and Shmuel was as to when is the right time to read Parsha Shkolim. And, of course, everybody is in agreement with the Mishnah that if actually Rosh Chodesh Adar occurs on Shabbos, and in that case we go through the procedure that we mentioned, and the final decision was that we take out 3 Sefer Torah, if you remember, on that day, in order to read the Parsha of the week, in order to read a section about Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and then finally Parsha Shkolim. Right. So, good. So we settled sort of that. Okay. But nevertheless, the argument then we saw continues as to whether there's going to be a break in between or not, that is a break in between Parsha Shkolim and between the following important Shabbos, which is Parsha Zohar.
Right.
When I say important, I mean, the unusual one, okay?
Why does there have to be a break?
The problem is really not so much whether there's going to be a break or not, but that would be the result. If you had, let's say, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, right, then in that particular case, there cannot be a break because it means that it's the first. 7 days after means that it's going to be the 8th of Adar, right? And then take 7 days after, it's the 15th already. In other words, that would be after when the gods have held, everybody except the Yerushalayim and a couple of other cities in Eretz Yisrael observe Purim, right, the walled cities, with Yerushalayim, there's no question that they observe what we call Shushan Purim, they observe that as Purim. I mean, Yerushalayim today was Purim, period, okay?
Right.
But also there are traditions that say that in the city of Tzfat and the city of Hebron, they may or may not have been walled cities, so because of the fact that maybe yes, maybe no, so they observed both the 14th and the 15th, okay? In the sense that they'll read the Megillah over again on the 15th, although they'll observe the 14th the way everybody else does, okay? But every other place in Eretz Israel and throughout the world, of course, always observes the 14th. So, in that case, obviously, you cannot have a Shabbos in between.
Right.
Unless you follow, again, the opinion of Shmuel, who
right.
whose opinion in this case is not followed. I mean, we follow, the opinion of Rav, that when are we going to have Parsha Zohar? As we'll see now from the discussion, it should be the Shabbos prior to Purim, okay?
Yeah, so the marker is always...
So in that case,
is when you read Parsha Shkolim.
Right, right.
That's the marker.
And also when it's Rosh Chodesh Adar, right, yeah. So in that particular case, right,
that particular...
Right, so in that particular case, then it means, obviously, that Parsha Zohar is going to be the Shabbos right after Parsha Shkolim. There's no break there. However, what happens if we have Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the week? So then we follow the opinion that was expressed, you know, by those that were mocked him. In other words, we observe Parsha Shkolim, the Shabbos, prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar, right? And then the following Shabbos is going to be a hafsaka, there's going to be a pause in between, and then the second Shabbos after that will be Parsha Zohar, because that will be closest to Purim. And this is the way it works out in the calendar year after year, right. Body?
When Rav and Shmuel dispute, is
yes.
the one we generally follow, or to go either way?
The answer is that it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. In many cases we follow Rav's opinion, in other cases we follow Shmuel's opinion. It depends exactly what it's all about.
Well,
okay.
This year worked out fine.
Yes, yes. Alright, yes.
In the Megillah that we read the other night,
yes.
it was at the very end, and it says, and the law will be that within the walled cities, you will read this on the...
It says, okay, now you heard Prozim, I mean, those Jews who live in unwalled cities, right?
It didn't say
observe
that.
It on the 14th, right.
But it specifically mentioned in the Megillah, it mentions
right.
what you do in the walled cities.
Yeah. They observe the 14th, but on the walled cities they observe the 15th. It says so, right.
It,
yeah.
it says unwalled too? Does it say
unwalled? Yeah. Or in the process. We had a copy of the text that we will see. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He says it's there.
Well, right. I'm sure it is. I'm saying, but the word walled city just kind of...
Would I fool you?
No. Okay.
All right. So now...
What does it mean anyway?
Chas v'chalila means God forbid.
God forbid.
I know.
Right,
but
right.
What do the words actually mean?
Chalila means, you know...
It should not be?
It should, well, yeah, really, chalila is the word like chulin. In other words, benu shalila, that's not fitting, you know. It's not proper, you know.
Chas
means...
May it not be.
Okay, not be. Right, yeah. But, you know, we always say Chas v'chalila, right. 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 Okay.
I know Joe by
that name. Well, as long as her name was Chas v'chalila, that's one thing. But if Shitaka was a Chas v'chalila, that's already another problem. All right. So, the Mishnah says that Bashniya Zohar, so the second Shabbos is Zohar. So, you realize what the problem is. The problem is, you know, is there then going to be a break in between Parsha Shkolim and Parsha Zohar, or is there no break in between? The wording in the Mishnah would be that the following Shabbos should be Parsha Zohar. But that cannot be the meaning, as we'll discover afterwards. Okay, all right. So Bashniya Zohar. Okay, good. Ikmar, we've learned. It says, Purim Shechol Yosber of Shabbos. If Purim occurs on Friday, Rav Omar Magdimin Parsha Zohar, Shmuel Loba Miachmin. So here we have another case of an argument between Rav and Shmuel. Okay. Rav says that you read Parsha Zohar the Shabbos prior. Prior to the preceding Shabbos. In other words, you know, the Shabbos which occurs before Purim. Shmuel Oma Meachvin. Shmuel had a belief that instead of reading it after, instead of reading it prior to prior to Erev Shabbos, we should read it after Erev Shabbos. Now, naturally, what is Erev Shabbos? So the answer is, if Purim occurs on Friday, according to Shmuel, but not according to Rav, right? Yeah. If it occurs on Friday, then in that case, we would read it the following day. In other words, instead of reading it on the 14th of Adar, we would instead read Parsha Zohar on the 15th of Adar.
That would be on Shabbos.
On Shabbos, right, the day after.
But he said if Purim fell on Friday night,
yeah,
right?
Right.
That means we
would... Not if it fell on Friday night. If it fell on Friday. Erev Shabbos means Friday.
Oh, Erev Shabbos.
It means Friday.
Okay, Friday.
Well, it would mean Thursday night and Friday.
Thursday night or Friday.
Can
that's
Purim
what
fall
I
on
absolutely.
Okay,
No. Except in Yerushalayim. But it's very possible for Purim to occur on a Thursday night and Friday. That happens from time
to time. Thursday night and Friday, but it can't be Friday night.
No. Not the way our calendar is fixed today, okay? But as I said,
it wouldn't be appropriate.
Yeah, in Yerushalayim, where they observe the following day, so naturally that already leads to a different problem over there, namely, when should they read the Megillah, and what do they do under those circumstances?
Right.
The answer is, actually, they make a great big weekend of it.
Yeah.
Because they read the Megillah on Friday, and, you know, and then some of the, on Shabbos, they have a different reading than what we have, not according to what Shmuel does, but actually, what do they read? They read Vayovel HaMolech, you know, the passage that we read yesterday morning is the Kriya for Purim. So in Yerushalayim, they read that as the Maftir, believe it or not.
The Maftir.
They read it as the Maftir, right. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there you already have the different rules that apply only to Yerushalayim.
But
right.
They read the regular Sedra then?
They still read the regular Sedra, absolutely. Right.
They just add that on the...
That's the Maftir. That's what they do over there. So some things they observe on Friday, some things they observe on Shabbos, and then they carry it over until Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So the merrymaking pot would be on Sunday.
Yeah.
And the Suda would be on Sunday. Right?
They could have the Suda on Sunday, they could give charity on Sunday and things like that, right, yeah.
Oh, but Rob says no.
Right, no.
Right?
Right. So, but you know, as I say, Yerushalayim has its own rules. I mean, it's compared to the rest of the world, the rest of the Jewish world, okay? All right, but as we see, Shmuel had his own ruling over there that he said that we should read if Purim is Erev Shabbos, in other words, if Purim is Friday, then in that case, we should not read Parsha Zohar the Shabbos prior to that, but we should instead read it the day after, which would be the 15th of Adar. All right, why does each one have their own idea? So he says, Rav Omar Magdimin. He says that we should have it earlier, right? In other words, prior to Purim. And he gives a reason for it. All right. In the Megillah, we read, you know, after they describe all the events that took place, and then they begin to talk about how Purim should be celebrated in the future. And one of the sentences over there says, "Hayomim ha'ela," and those days should be nizkorim v'nasin b'chol davar, which means they should be remembered and observed in every single generation. That's what it means. All right. So, what is the first word? Be remembered. The second word is and be observed. All right.
And what?
And be observed.
Observed. Yeah.
So, what Ralph says. Says, look, the way it reads over there, it reads first that you have to remember, right? And then after that, you have to observe. So in other words, when is the remembering taking place? It takes place prior to the arrival of Purim. See, that's what he's saying, you understand? And don't forget, what do we call that Shabbos? We call it Parsha Zohar. Remember, okay? So that therefore, in that case, the remembrance comes prior to the asiyah, in other words, the actual things that we do in order to observe Purim. Okay? So this is Rav's opinion. Okay. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel, who disagrees with him, says we should read it Ba'achrin, we should read it the day after Purim, in other words, read on the 15th. So Omar Lachoy says to you, look, Kevin the Yikim Mukovin, the Avdi Bechamesar, there are places, he says, you know, surrounded by a wall where they observe Purim on the 15th, right? So, in that case, what do we see? We see that it's not important to have Zechira before Asiyah, in other words, that we should have remembrance before the observance, but because Asiyah, the Zechira, Bahadeh HaDodeh HaAsin, because in those places we see already that both the remembrance and, you know, the observance, that they occur together. So that, therefore, what's wrong with my saying that even if it's not a city which is walled about, right? But I feel that if it's Erev, that if Purim is Erev Shabbos, then we should carry it over to the following day. That's his opinion. All right. Tanan. Now, the Mishnah says, Bashniya Zohar, right? On the second Shabbos, it is Zohar, right? The Ki Mikla. So let's figure out again, if Rosh Chodesh Ador occurs on Shabbos, then in that particular case Purim is bound to be, it has to be Erev Shabbos. Why? Because if you count, okay, first is Shabbos, the 8th is Shabbos, and when is Purim? The 14th, right? So, in other words, that would be 6 days after, which would be on Friday, would be Erev Shabbos, right? The Katani Bashniya, Zohar, and the Mishnah said that the second Shabbos is Zohar. So the question is, what do we mean then by the second Shabbos, right? So Amar Rapapa said, Bashniya, what taka, what does the second mean? He says, Shniya lahav Zohar. So he says, it means that it's the second after there is a break. In other words, in an ordinary year, if we have what? If we have that, excuse me, that Parsha Shkolim is read prior, right? It's read prior to, Parsha Shkolim is read prior to Rosh Hashanah, right? Then in that case, the second Shabbos is going to be a Shabbos which breaks the sequence, okay, interrupts the sequence, and that's of course what happened this past year. Okay, so Toshma, come and listen. Well, let's find out. And at this point they quote another idea, you know, which goes into this, the same problem. Ezu Shabbos Nio, what do we mean by the second Shabbos? It says Kol Shechol Purim Niyos B'Secha. It's always the Shabbos in which Purim is going to occur during the course of the following week. Ba'afilu, the Erev Shabbos. This is even if Purim is Erev Shabbos. Okay? So, this would be proof, right? That what Rav had to say, we read it beforehand, is correct, and of course, actually, this is our practice, this is our halacha, okay? So it says, my love, Erev Shabbos, Dumya Nesarcha. So why shouldn't we say that, you know, Erev Shabbos, in other words, that Friday should be similar to any other day in the middle of the week? In the sense, you know, that we could observe, you know, that Parsha Zohar should be read prior to it, as long as it makes no difference whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, unlike what Shmuel had to say. So it says, Ma Teicho Magdimin, just as in the middle of the week we read Parsha Zohar prior to Purim, so off Erev Shabbos, even if Purim then occurs, Erev Shabbos, Magdimin, we still would read Parsha Zohar prior to that. All right. So this, of course, is a refute. This is a support for the opinion of Shmuel, right? But, I mean, for Rav, excuse me. But Shmuel still doesn't give it, right? So I'm not Shmuel, but. So Shmuel says, no, it means that you read it on it, but not prior to it. All right. The Chayn Tan and Shmuel, then likewise, it's the school, you know, the rabbis who followed him, learning in his yeshiva, they also said, bought. Okay. So Shmuel still didn't give in. All right. Now, Cholios B'Shabbos Atzma, okay? Now, what happens if we find that, you know, that Rosh Chodesh occurs on Shabbos itself? So Amar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna said, the Divrei HaKol, everybody's in agreement in that case, that Ein Makdimin, that we did not read it any earlier, but that's his opinion. Again, he's supporting, obviously, Shmuel's opinion. But the Rav Lachman said, Amar Adayin Himach.